Well, I know by now you've heard about the pyramid scan that was done under the middle pyramid on the Giza Plateau, Khafre's pyramid, and I'm sure that you're here to find out what my two bits is on it. And you've come to the right place, because if you go to any other YouTube channel, they're not going to have my opinion. So, good job on that. And I could make another cheesy joke here, or I could just start the video. So, hi, my name's Dan, and welcome to Dedunking. All right, well, let's start with the claims made by the Khafre project themselves. The first thing that they claim is that they've detected not just one relieving chamber, but five. Impressive in and of itself, but they go on to claim that there's eight massive column-shaped chambers, each with a spiral staircase, and four huge square platforms where the columns terminate. The total depth is said to be an astounding 648 meters of columns, plus 80 more meters of rectangular platform under the pyramid. They claim to have scanned over 2 kilometers under the bedrock, which is pretty impressive. And the size of this supporting structure, if it's real, would be pretty impressive as well. It would make it the largest supporting structure for a building that I could find any record of. And this has got all kinds of ancient history people like myself making videos about it and weighing in. Is Edgar Casey vindicated? Is Christopher Dunn right? Was Flint Dibble right? We were on Pierce Morgan and he said this was just a bunch of crap. So I've been digging into this for the last couple of weeks, and, well, let's talk about the science side of it. That sounds like a good place to start, right? Now, radar is basically sending radio waves out into the world and then measuring the time it takes for the waves to return after they've bounced off of something. By using that traditional rotating radio wave emitter that we've all seen with the radar stuff, that would also give us the direction as well as the distance for an object. So this has been very useful, and in World War II, a lot of battles were determined by radar, and plenty of things since, but it also has a lot of civilian applications, and one of these was known as SAR. Now, synthetic aperture radar, or SAR for short, is a term for a technique in which they use a smaller satellite moving over a large area to emulate having a much more massive dish. The satellite's motion is the key. They take many readings as they move. Instead of having one giant stationary disk, they use many smaller disks and then cover the same area a more massive disk would over time. And using this method, scientists can get the results of a larger disk with those smaller ones in motion. And this allows them to get excellent radar images from space, and in fact, this has been used to go as far as a few meters under sand in order to find features hidden from the naked eye. It's been used for archaeology and geology for decades now. However, it's only been used a few meters underground, not 600 meters, and certainly not 2 kilometers. But there is a lot of different frequencies and wavelengths that are employed in SAR, and as a matter of fact, these can have a wide determination on how well and how effective it is at doing certain things, and some of these are actually still experimental to this day. Let's look at the NASA website on this. Wavelength is an important feature to consider when working with SAR, as it determines how the radar signal interacts with the surface and how far a signal can penetrate into a medium. For example, an X-band radar, which operates at a wavelength of about 3 centimeters, has very little capability to penetrate into broadleaf forests and mostly interacts with leaves at the top of the tree canopy. An L-band signal, on the other hand, has a wavelength of about 23 centimeters, which enables it to penetrate more deeply through a tree canopy and allows for more interaction between the radar signal and large branches and tree trunks. Wavelength doesn't just impact the penetration depth into forests, but also into other land cover types such as soil and ice. For example, scientists and archaeologists are using SAR data to help uncover lost cities and urban-type infrastructures hidden over time by dense vegetation or desert sands. Now, in addition to the different types of wavelengths, we also have differences from the types of terrain that is hit by the radar. The rougher and more uneven the terrain, the more scattered the scan will be, while urban centers will return very clean, angular waves by comparison. And the angle of the waves being sent out is also an important consideration. They don't send them straight down, but instead send these out at an angle. Now, one reason they do that is to use the Doppler effect for Doppler tomography. What's Doppler tomography, I hear you say? Well, if you're into astronomy at all, you'll be kind of surprised that they're using it on the planet Earth, because it's usually for guys that are into stars, it's usually used for like binary stars for them to determine which one's spitting light which direction, because they use the Doppler effect. And for those of you who don't know what the Doppler effect is, it's when you're standing like on the side of the road and you hear a car coming and it's like that higher pitch as it comes and then lower pitch as it passes. It's from the sound waves being compressed and then decompressed as they go by. Well, the same thing works with light. And so in astronomy, you might frequently hear this just referred to as the redshift because they're talking about the evidence for the Big Bang, but that's really not exactly the accurate way of putting it. You're talking about the Doppler effect. And Doppler tomography is used with these SRA scans in order for them to determine, to help them pinpoint specific things a little bit better. Like if they pinpoint an area and they're like, they're hitting a hill, for example, they use the Doppler effect to help map it just a little bit more accurately. And as time has gone on, this has gotten a lot more accurate. Original SAR data was interpreted through what were then cutting-edge analog computers. Complicated systems of lasers and lenses, and they would give us low-resolution images translated directly from the SAR data. Nowadays, they use computers to recreate the data and translate it, and as such, they've gotten much better at both the interpretations and at the fidelity of the images. Now, the pyramid scan data is said to use proprietary software, AI-based, to help them better interpret the data. And this is not without basis. There's a thing called interferometry, which is a type of, it's a technique that's used with the SAR scans, and it is something that is, basically they scan the same area a few times, and they use subtle differences that they detect to determine the differences in the topography or the changes in the surface of the soil. And they can do this on a very accurate scale. Here again, I'll quote from NASA's website. SAR data enables an analysis method called interferometry. When used with SAR, this analysis method is called interferometric SAR, or INSAR. INSAR uses the phase information recorded by the instrument to measure the distance from the instrument to the target. When at least two observations of the same target are made at different times, the distance, with additional geometric information from the instrument, can be used to measure changes in the land surface topography. These measurements are very accurate, up to the centimeter level, and can be used to identify areas of deformation following events like volcanic eruptions and earthquakes. And this brings me back to the COFRAE project and their scan data. Now take the information that I've given you so far and keep that in mind while you listen to this quote. How is it possible to see this deep underground? To probe beneath the pyramids, the team employed cutting-edge synthetic aperture radar imaging combined with a novel Doppler tomography sequence. SAR is a form of radar remote sensing that uses the motion of radar antenna, often a satellite or aircraft, to simulate a large antenna aperture, yielding very high-resolution images. In this case, radar satellites, including Italy's Cosmos SkyMed constellation and data from the Capella space, were used to scan the Giza pyramids from orbit. These satellites operate in the X-band frequency, which provides very fine image detail. Typically, radar signals at such high frequencies penetrate only a few meters into dry ground at best, meaning conventional SAR would only map surface features. The key innovation by Biondi and Malanga was to overcome this limitation by analyzing the microvibrations of the surface rather than relying on direct wave penetration. This radar technique, described in a 2022 Remote Sensing Journal paper, exploits the natural, tiny vibrations of the pyramid and subsurface rock induced by ambient seismic waves, essentially the background hum of the Earth. As seismic energy passes through and around the pyramids, it creates microscopic movements on the order of millimeters or less in both solid rock and any voids, empty spaces, underground. The SAR satellites, imaging the site repeatedly, can detect these micro movements as subtle phase shifts or Doppler frequency shifts in the radar echoes. So this is basically them building off of the foundation that they already have. It seems to be kind of the next logical step for this SAR stuff, right? And in addition to that, the scan team, they have provided some images of the interior of the pyramid and some of the features there, and that does seem to show that they're able to penetrate more than just a few meters of soil. They're shooting through the walls of the pyramid. That's a lot of limestone there. Furthermore, the team claims to have scanned the Grand Sasso Physics Laboratory, which is 1.4 kilometers underground, and they provide compelling data to back this up. But the software that's used to interpret this is proprietary, and this does cause an issue when it comes to peer review or even just amateurs looking under the hood of these scans. You know, I also don't have access to the software, so I can't really look under the hood of it any more than I'm doing right here. I can't interpret their data the way that they did because I don't have access to the software. Now, as I said on Pierce Morgan, though, there is something worth mentioning here. I'm not trained to interpret these types of images, and neither was anybody on the panel there, and most people commenting on this aren't. So, Now, you can look at it and say that you're skeptical, but I would also point out that if I was to present sheet music here, like I said on Piers Morgan, if you look at the sheet music, you look at it and you're like, that's lines and dots if you don't read music. But if you do read music, well, now you're hearing Pink Floyd, right? So there is, you know, we do have to kind of take this with a grain of salt with the experts or the people that should be looking at that data and telling us what it is more than our lay people eyes, in my opinion. But before I get too much further into my opinion on the scans themselves, I do want to mention the one person's work that I think was the most influential or the most spoken of, I should say, in the wake of this find, and that would be Christopher Dunn. How does this tie into what he's talked about over the years? Well, he was asked about it so much that he made a public statement, and so I'll just read a small piece of that to begin with. Considering the level of science, knowledge, and experience of those involved in the scan pyramid mission, I am not qualified to judge any of their findings. Similarly, I am not qualified to judge the findings of the SAR scanning team. However, I would love to know how the geometrically accurate CAD drawings were extracted out of the raw data, because they seem to represent a massive Tesla-like electromagnetic earthquake machine. But even without the CAD, I believe there's enough in the scans to warrant further investigation. I would like to attach a caveat to my enthusiasm for the work of the SAR research team's work and imagination it has sparked. That is, we must keep in mind that considering what I wrote in my book, my confirmation bias may be working overtime, and there should always be a healthy amount of Cartesian skepticism when anything that seems so firmly embedded in the realm of science fiction is attached to ancient monuments. We are living in exciting times. If it turns out to be fictional, it is more of a compelling, interesting fiction than the pyramids as tombs theory that we have been taught. And if it's proven as fact, we could be on the threshold of a bright and harmonious future. Now, over the last few years, I've made it abundantly clear that I don't believe in ancient high technology, not nearly to the level that Christopher Dunn does. However, we get along just fine, and I did get a chance to speak with him on the phone about this a little bit more in depth. And he did discuss in the letter, which I will link below, he does talk about how there is some science that may well back up what he's looking at in these scans. But when I spoke with Christopher, the thing that he was the most impressed with and the most interested in was the tunnels. He thought that these are a severely, even if without the scan, he says these are a very under-investigated aspect of the Giza Plateau. The tunnels crisscross all over the place. They're ancient. A lot of them are full of stuff, full of rubble, quite possibly full of history, and they're everywhere. So that part really got him excited. He said that more than anything else, looking at those. But he expressed, I mean, even the letter there, despite what everybody likes to say about guys like him and Graham Hancock and everybody, look at what he says. You know, it's like, I got to watch myself here, man. There's confirmation bias just creeping up on me here. So, intelligent person with a healthy check on their emotions there. And you'll find that he's not alone in this community. If you watched me and Jimmy talking on Piers Morgan, both me and Jim expressed quite a bit of skepticism, Jim even more than myself, surprisingly enough. And we're not the only ones. Jeff from Landa Chem, he took a pretty heavy shot at this scan data and he basically debunked it as far as his followers are concerned. They're calling it a debunking. I wouldn't go that far myself, but I would say that he definitely took some shots at it and pointed out some issues. Like Jimmy's pointed out, there's problems with the water table and stuff, that most of that structure would be submerged no matter how far back in time you go until you go back millions of years, for what we know about geology. So there's a lot going on here that is, it's not just, despite the fact that they like to say that all of us alternate history guys just believe whatever the hell comes down the pipes without any degree of skepticism at all, the reality of it is it's quite different than that. And this is a great example because the majority of us are saying basically the same thing. And that, I guess, would bring us back to what's Dan's opinion on this whole thing. Now, SAR tech is powerful and in many cases economically superior to all the other options. The ability to rent some satellite time or just purchase the data from the company that farmed it already, that can often be a lot cheaper than sending in a team into the field with LIDAR and drones and ground-penetrating radar and all the stuff to keep them alive for the next 2 months. And it offers the ability to scan areas that aren't accessible at all, which of course makes it attractive to the military. And the technology of the SAR data interpretation seems to be following everything else in the world that uses computers nowadays. It's growing fast and it's using AI and it's really just jumping in leaps and bounds. So in my opinion, I do think they found something here, but I don't think it's as much as they're portraying it to be. I honestly think that there probably is a lot of noise in that scan. I think it's, as they say, it's very new, but I do think that they did stumble across something here. I'll go ahead and read another quote from guys that worked for the scan team. "It is very, very early days on this AI project to improve the Giza Plateau SkyMed images, but we have made robust progress. In the image below, we have the original Khafre project image. In the image below, we have the same image enhanced by AI trained on medical and environmental images plus data from Cosmos SkyMed. We have found more structure and what we believe is a more accurate focus of the 1 meter resolution of SAR Doppler. The model has hundreds of thousands of training images to get better results. The AI model we are training has 71% certainty this area has tunnels that connect to the circular structures. Height is estimated to be about 25 feet, and the deviation from level is only plus or minus 2 feet. We are working on getting better results from the spiral structure as imaged in the specimen below. The difficulty is getting the training data to understand it. I have some ideas. However, it is absolutely certain this structure is present down to 2 miles or more." So while the AI is certain that there are these structures down there, the people involved are less certain. They say that it's still the early days of this scanning. And here's the thing. As I said, this is very lucrative software potentially. And I personally am of the opinion that this is a way for them to advertise this. This is a way for them to get more money for it. If you go look at their homepage, they have that underground laboratory that they found in, or that they scanned in Italy, right on the front page, showing you immediately that they were able to scan something that they know exists. They're trying hard to make this a marketable product, and it makes sense as to why. I mean, good Lord, that would be so cheap. If they could effectively do what LiDAR does from space and do it with the same degree of accuracy that we would get, or close to it, we would get with a team of people on the ground with drones, that would be so cheap. So I could see where these guys are trying to push this whole thing forward. And now if you read the 2022 paper, it does show images, like I said earlier, of the inside of the pyramid. Now, it shows 5 of that relieving chamber, and this is something that actually is funny. Me and Christopher Dunn agreed on. We both think that's probably ghosting, that it's probably their image being doubled or tripled because of either the AI. I mean, we've all seen how AI handles hands and stuff in the AI images, so it could be that kind of thing where the AI is just because it's still new and learning, or it could just be that the radar, the SAR imaging, ghosted itself or something. It's tough to say for sure. Again, I don't read this kind of sheet music, but it is an interesting point that both me and Chris are like, I don't think so. I think 5 relieving chambers is probably inaccurate. I think a lot of these things, I think, are probably getting blown way out of proportion. And I don't think it's the team necessarily that's doing it. I think it's the early days of this AI scan data. But I do think there's something there. I think that they found something. And that's pretty interesting, let's be clear. And I really, like Jimmy said when we were on Piers Morgan, I would like to see some people dig down there. Now, whether or not that'll happen, we already know that's not going to happen. But it would be nice. It would be nice for us to see what's actually going on down there. Because as they fine-tune this technology, perhaps we will be able to get more. I mean, let's be honest, just sort of really quick side note, if this technology is something that they are able to, like, get consistent and get good with, we're going to find all kinds of stuff. The pyramids over in China, they don't want us to know anything about. We'll scan the crap out of them, dude, and we'll scan them ourselves from space. And there's a damn thing you can do about it, and we'll look at it on the millimeter level according to if this stuff works. Now, a lot of scientists are very skeptical of this, but I point out that if you go back to the 70s, this SAR stuff was not giving us very clear data. Now, if you were to say that they could detect changes in the surface of the Earth down to a couple of centimeters, they would have laughed at you. But today, they do it. And the next log, and they do it with computers scanning the same area multiple times, very similar to what they're talking about in this. So it's interesting to me. I'm not one to dismiss this out of hand like so many other people are. I honestly think it's the burgeoning days of this technology. They're just kind of jumping the gun to get funding. Because honestly, a lot of companies are probably looking at this and going, wow, if that actually does work, holy shit. Now, that's, you know, again, that's a little speculation on my part, but you did come here for speculation on my part because, again, I don't have access to the software to translate the data that they did. However, I think that I have presented a good enough case to show you that the dismissal of this out of hand is premature. as is the acceptance of this as a 2 kilometer deep craziness mess of pillars and tunnels and platforms and everything. We should probably get more data before we hang our hat either direction on this. And as usual, I know that's less exciting than sewing everything shut and saying, well, there it is, boys. Have a good evening. Now you know. That's not how it works, man. That's not how science works. That's certainly not how archaeology works, especially when it comes to the pyramids in ancient Egypt. Now, I thank you a lot for watching. I want to point out I'll be in Sedona, Arizona here in a little bit less than a month. Me and Graham Hancock and Jimmy and Randall and a bunch of other people are going to be there. It's Graham's one-time speaking engagement here in the United States this year. Probably come check it out. I'll be there. I'll also be at the Cosmic Summit in the early June down in North Carolina, and I'll be speaking there as well. So links to both of these things are down below, and you can find me there. And thanks a lot. There's also links to support the channel down below. I appreciate you watching, and we will see you next time.